Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. Richard Queen, newly released from long captivity in Iran, was reunited with his mother and father today in Switzerland, and now he's about to be transferred to an American military hospital in West Germany. Early today, Queen was reunited with his parents in Zurich, and afterwards his mother and father talked with reporters, and Mrs. Queen spoke of their emotions.
My first feeling is happiness to see my son, and to see my son who's also happy, and sense of peace and serenity that he has in himself, and also tremendous and enormous kind of overwhelming gratitude to everybody, the whole world, the people who have been supporting to us all these hard years, this very difficult month.
Mrs. Queen said her son has no hard feelings toward the Iranians despite some awful moments. Her husband said the son lost 10 to 20 pounds during his months of confinement, but he is now showing tremendous improvement. For the 52 hostages remaining in Iran, this is the 252nd day of captivity. President and Mrs. Carter telephoned Queen yesterday and talked with him for 10 minutes. The call was made from an island off the Cote Georgia coast, where Mr. Carter and the First Lady will be vacationing until Thursday. They say Queen seemed to be in excellent spirits. The Republican National Convention opens in Detroit day after tomorrow, and Neil Strauser tells us that only one major question remains unanswered.
The platform has been written, and there seems no possibility of a convention floor fight over any plank. So the focus is shifting here to the one remaining major item of suspense, the question of who will be Ronald Reagan's running mate. Reagan aides, with no desire to diminish the interest, are insisting that it's not true there's been any narrowing of the original list of eight or so prospects. Though one aide is quoted as saying that George Bush is way up there. The interest will grow today with the arrival of two more people on the list, Senator Richard Lugar and the convention keynote speaker, Representative Guy Vanderjagt. Also arriving this afternoon is former President Gerald Ford, and he'll be entertained tonight at an invitation-only party in honor of his 67th birthday. The actual convention work schedule is light. Only the Rules Committee is scheduled to meet and begin organizing. That committee tomorrow is expected to quickly accede to a Reagan request and change the rule, allowing party chairman Bill Brock to serve another year and a half, giving Reagan the choice of a new chairman the end of this year. Neil Strauser, CBS News, convention headquarters in Detroit.
Detroit threw a pre-convention party last night, and Deborah Potter tells us how it went.
To the music of a local rock band. Red, white, and blue balloons tied in clusters under glittering lights. Thousands of people jammed the ballroom of a downtown hotel to celebrate the city's first national convention.
Oh, we think it's just marvelous. It's the most exciting thing that's ever happened. Hopefully after the convention, we will just have a nice bright star above our city.
This is the first time that delegates to a U.S. political convention have been housed in a foreign country, and Windsor, Canada sent its police band to the party. Politics wasn't the issue last night. It was local pride. Most of the partygoers were from the Detroit area. Very few Republicans in sight in a traditionally Democratic city. But to Detroit boosters, even ERA supporters, it's a happy time.
We need it in Detroit. We need the money all we can get. We don't care who comes.
For a city with an unemployment rate of 18%, this is a crucial time. If it puts on a good show, it stands to reap millions of dollars in future convention business. So Detroit is trying to convince the country that it's the place to come. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Detroit.
Detroit city officials and union leaders last night tentatively agreed on a new contract, and the striking transit workers this morning are voting on whether to accept it. Dave Greer of CBS radio affiliate WWJ sets the background.
City officials feared that a prolonged strike would endanger the start of the GOP convention Monday and thus tarnish Detroit's Renaissance image. During the 11-day work stoppage, uncollected garbage piled up in the streets and 200,000 commuters had to find other modes of transportation since the fleet of city buses was idled. The chief negotiator for the city claims the city cannot afford the contract settlement and raised the possibility of worker layoffs. However, he says the agreement is within a settlement framework approved by Mayor Coleman Young earlier in the week. The union's negotiators expressed his pleasure in arriving at the tentative settlement and pleaded for city workers to take the proposal seriously. The workers walked off their jobs June 30th amid charges that they were using the upcoming convention as a bargaining tool against the city, charges they denied. This is Dave Greer for CBS News, Detroit.
Fighting broke out again today along the border between Cambodia and Thailand. Dave Hatcher reports from Bangkok that the latest hostilities are frustrating relief workers and others interested in helping Cambodians.
Some observers say there may be no real solution in sight to the problems of Cambodia, and use as a perfect example the last 3 days of fighting on the Thai-Cambodian border, not with Vietnamese or Thai forces, but by Cambodians amongst themselves. Bitter factional disputes for control of a rambling shanty town and its illegal black market in rice and relief aid have left more than 100 Cambodians wounded, and may have killed at least 30 others, though the deaths remain unconfirmed. Tens of thousands of Cambodians, already with precious little left in life, have had to flee once again into nearby scrubland just inside Thailand, and will sleep in the open this weekend in fear of a possible continuation of fighting. Last fall, famine threatened the very existence of the Cambodian race. Since then, the shanty towns and the freewheeling market trade the open border has spawned have created innumerable problems for relief agencies, the Thai military, and potential leaders of Cambodia's non-communist followers. In a country where two communist antagonists, the Khmer Rouge and the Vietnamese Occupation Army, are still fighting a guerrilla war for control of the battered and backward nation. The latest infighting among rival Cambodian groups compounds relief problems even further and stalls efforts to get food and other supplies to thousands of desperate Cambodians. Dave Hatcher, CBS News, Bangkok.
A South Korean military court today formally arraigned imprisoned opposition leader and former presidential candidate Kim Dae-jung on charges of sedition in an alleged attempt to overthrow the military government. Eight of Kim's followers were arraigned with him. The Martial Law Command has not announced a date for the trial. Another attempt at air piracy ended quietly during the night, this time on the ground in Seattle. Andy Ludlam of CBS radio affiliate KIRO has details.
A teenage hijacker held police at bay for 10 hours at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, demanding $100,000, parachutes, cheeseburgers, and finally a rental car, which proved to be his undoing. 17-year-old Glenn Tripp of Seattle, claiming to have a bomb and an attaché case, commandeered a Northwest Airlines jet bound for Portland early Friday afternoon. He wanted the parachute so he could bail out of the airliner to freedom. FBI agents finally convinced the teenage hijacker rainy Seattle weather would not permit an aerial escape, so he demanded the rental car. He said it had to be fast, with automatic transmission and CB radio. The hijacker had released all aboard the plane except for two crew members. Paul Mack of the FBI says as the teenager made his way down the stairway to the rental car, he was grabbed by FBI agents.
FBI agents did arrest him on the ground outside the aircraft.
No shots were fired.
$100,000 in cash was recovered. No one was injured in the incident. Andy Ludlam for CBS News, Seattle.
An unarmed Filipino tried to hijack a Philippines Airlines plane on a domestic flight today, claiming he had a bomb and American hostages. He demanded $6 million and a flight to Libya. Instead, the plane returned to Manila, and the hijacker was overpowered by security police after it landed. He had no bomb and no hostages. He's been sent to a hospital for psychiatric treatment. Pope John Paul arrived back in Rome this morning from his 12-day tour of Brazil. He said he went there as a missionary of love. Egyptian President Sadat met for an hour and a half today in Alexandria with independent presidential candidate John Anderson. Sadat told reporters later that he had expected to have an argument with Anderson because of the candidate's pro-Israeli views, but he said he was satisfied with the friendly and candid way Anderson explained them. Sadat said he specifically questioned the Illinois congressman about his support for the Israeli plan to make an undivided Jerusalem the permanent capital of Israel. Anderson explained that his ideas were long-term and would follow a comprehensive peace settlement and full autonomy for the Palestinians. Anderson told reporters that he considers Sadat the George Washington of the Middle East. Egyptian officials say that Egypt and Israel will resume negotiations on the autonomy question tomorrow in Cairo on a full-scale basis. The talks were suspended more than 2 months ago.